Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. Today is October 16, 2024. The markets were up today with the Dow closing at 43,077, the NASDAQ at 18,367, and the S&P at 5,842. Tonight, I'm doing a follow-up to last week's show. If you did not catch last week's show, that is available on WDI's website, WDIY.org, under Public Affairs Programming. You look for Your Financial Choices, and podcasts of prior shows are there. Also at YourFinancialChoices.com or on many streaming services, including the WDIY app. And that show was called Flexible Estate Planning. And I thought it was really important after we've introduced those topics that we talk about a little follow-up to that. So that's what we're doing tonight. We are live. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. That's for questions this evening. You can also add to our membership drive as well through that number, but you can ask questions, and if you're comfortable talking live on air, we can do that. And if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and Bob will run it into the studio. You can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. So again, tonight, follow up on the flexible estate planning. But before I start that, I do want to mention that we are in our membership drive. I'm not going to be asking for contributions all night long or anything, but we would like to speed up the end of the drive, and we really appreciate the support of our listeners. And I always say you don't have to just do the minimum amount. You can do as much as you want. So, and you can do extra contributions. And it's all welcome. And you can do that through the app WDIY or the website WDIY.org or by calling 610-758-8810. But that's also available for questions. So as we're talking about flexible estate planning tonight and where to start, again, last week, you can listen to that show. It was a great show. Pete Iorio from Fitzpatrick, Lenz & Booba was on talking about some flexible estate planning ideas. I think it was a really great welcome to listen to it. But what do we do from there? How do we take or plan for this flexible estate planning? So it was almost like we were kind of talking about what the attorneys can do to help you and what you can do working with the attorney to help you in that flexible estate planning. But where do we start? How do we get to a place where we can start talking about flexible estate planning? What does that mean? Well, I think it's really, really important to start at the beginning. And what does that mean? What is estate planning? Estate planning is what's going to happen to my assets when I'm gone. And I always like to remind people, it's not just about when your assets are gone. Estate planning is thinking about what happens to your assets while you're alive as well. And in fact, that is probably even more critical. And why is that critical? Because there is planning you could do during your lifetime that could make a difference in your end of life goals. It could make a difference in your needy years, if you may need nursing care. in making your assets last. Like, what are you doing today? Meaning part of estate planning is making sure your estate or your assets survive for your lifetime. And then when you are no longer surviving, that they go to the right place when you pass away. So estate planning, let's stop thinking about it as just a time when we die, because half the time that keeps half the people from doing estate planning, the fear of death. So they don't do anything. They're frozen. Let's take that fear away. Let's not make it about when we die. Let's make it about while we're alive, to make sure our assets are in order and that they're going to be there for us. And then when we no longer need them, what are we going to do with them? Let's not say when we die. It's when we no longer need them. Okay. So let's start with an inventory of your assets. But it's not just your assets. It's also your liabilities. Because when I hear people sometimes talk about their assets, they may forget that they have, you know, a $400,000 mortgage on that $500,000 house, meaning your estate might not be worth as much as you think when we factor in the liability. So when we're doing estate planning or an inventory of our assets, we cannot forget about also doing an inventory of our liabilities. And how are they titled? We talked about beneficiary designations. What are those? And let's add to that primary beneficiaries, contingent beneficiaries. So let's talk about what kind of assets when we're doing an inventory. Because you have to understand what they are to take an inventory of them, right? And you can't forget about things. So we have bank accounts, brokerage accounts, retirement accounts at work. What about work benefits that you might have? Pensions, group life insurance, health savings accounts. What about those individual accounts where stock awards go? Savings bonds, real estate, cars, jewelry, art, collectibles. You see that when you start trying to pay attention to these, you would be surprised by how many assets you may forget that you have without digging in a little deeper, and why it is very important to understand what they are. So bank accounts, brokerage accounts, retirement accounts. And retirement accounts might be at work, but you might also have retirement accounts at prior employers. You might have retirement accounts with a financial advisor from 20 years ago and you haven't paid any attention to it. So kind of know where those all are. And then don't forget about other kinds of benefits that aren't necessarily, you know, in your file cabinet, not necessarily on your app on your phone. And that could be work benefits that you don't really readily see unless you go into the, you know, corporate benefits website or something. And that would be maybe a pension benefit, group life insurance, health savings accounts. And for those companies, some of our bigger corporations may incent their employees by giving them stock options or stock awards, restricted stock units. And when they award that stock to you, you set up a brokerage account and they move the stock directly to that account. And you feel like it's kind of separate. It almost doesn't feel like your own account, even though it is, because it was kind of set up through work, because the company deals with, you know, ABC company for the 401k, and that same company sets up the brokerage accounts to accept the stock awards. It kind of happens automatically, really efficient for the company, but may not be as efficient or ease of use for you, because maybe you have all of your accounts over at, you know, XYZ company, and now you had to open up this ABC account because the company's putting your stock there, and you kind of forget about it because it's just sitting over there. And that's when you take the stock. Sometimes you don't take the stock. Sometimes you do cashless exercise or cashless payment. But you'd be surprised about how many people actually take the stock. Then it's sitting in this account in an individual name, and there could be ramifications to that. So that's why we're talking about flexible estate planning and doing an inventory of your assets and kind of making sure that you're getting your arms around all the different kinds of assets you have, because we're also going to talk about asset titling and beneficiary designations as we continue our discussion this evening. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. We are in our membership drive, and you can call with questions 610-758-8810 or for contributing, as well as on the WDIY app or WDIY.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and I'm joined in the studio by Seamus McGrogan.
Hey, thank you so much, Lori. I am the Membership and Development Director here at WDIY, so that means I get to talk with the members all throughout the year. And this is a particularly great time because we're hearing from so many people out there, and it's great to hear feedback and why people love the station. So thank you to everybody who's given. Thank you to everybody who's talked about their favorite programs, what they'd like us to do in the future, how they discovered us. It's great hearing all those stories and how WDIY impacts the lives of so many people out there in the Lehigh Valley and really beyond now with the app.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now in our fall membership drive, and this is the time of year where we're asking for your support. If you listen to your financial choices in the past couple weeks, you know that we're relying on you for donations. So maybe you heard us talking about it and you didn't have time. Maybe you think somebody else could do it and you just said you'll put it off. Well, now is the time we need you to step up and make that membership donation. 610-758-8810, WDIY.org. Oh, and we have a thank you to give. Carolyn, thank you so much, Carolyn, for your donation. We appreciate that. And I don't see where the city or town is, but thank you so much for that donation. We really appreciate your contribution. Looking for some more people this hour during Your Financial Choices, and that will help us not only fund this program and keep it on the air, but it'll let us know that there's people out there that love this program, value this program, and want to keep it on the air.
Yay, listeners of Your Financial Choices, come to the fore for us.
Lori loves hearing from the listeners there. So if you want to make Lori very happy, now's the time to make a membership
Which
donation.
Which Carolyn has. So Carolyn, thank you. All right, Seamus, we'll hear from you again.
Yes, I'll let you get back to the program, but I will stop in a little bit and update you on the membership drive.
Okay,
so thanks. Just a reminder, the number, if you either want to ask a question or make a donation, is 610-758-8810, or you can give online at wdiy.org.
Thank you, Seamus. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, as we mentioned, and we have a caller. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Carolyn, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I'm proud to help WDIY every month and with an extra donation.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I really do.
You are a wealth of information, and I'm picking your brain yet again.
Okay.
I inherited a coin collection. It's actually in a bag that held a bowling ball, and it's pretty full. And I have no idea what this is worth. I tried researching it online. It quickly became very overwhelming for me, and I just stopped, and it's been sitting in the basement for quite a while, and I'd like to move forward with it. I have no idea where to go, so I'm looking for just any advice.
Well, Carolyn, sometimes I think it's like when it's silver, and I'm not an expert on this at all, but sometimes when it's silver, I've seen where people actually weigh the silver and look at the spot price of it when the date of death, because if you inherited it, then it would get a step up in basis to the date of death of the person you inherited it from. But there are certain retailers or businesses that do valuations, And, you know, like you might see, and I can't recall the name, but there was a shop, for example, in Allentown that did coins and jewelry, gold, and would value the coins. So I do believe there are places where you could take it if the coins themselves had like historical value versus just like silver kind of value. So I think it sounds like it's a lot of coins, perhaps. And I think your best bet probably would be to go to a reputable coin valuation business that is known for doing these appraisals and tell them when the date of death was, and they could perhaps provide like a written valuation for you, because you might have some value there that you could actually exchange. And typically that same business may be in the business to buy it from you. And, you know, if you're not going to do anything else with it, you could maybe, you know, sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is there any title such as like, you know, a financial advisor, you're looking for someone who is a fiduciary. Is there any way just maybe look at the history perhaps of?
Oh, you're saying for like someone who would do this valuation?
Yes,
well,
exactly.
for one thing, I would probably try to have some kind of inventory of what you have. Even if you lay all the coins out on the floor and take a photograph of them, I would probably try to do some type of inventory, or you do it a step at a time. And as far as reputation, I would probably try to dig in and see the name of the firm and how long they've been around and what it has on their website. I know, you know, I used to work at a law firm, and we did use a firm in Allentown because we're in Pennsylvania. But I wouldn't know because I just haven't. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. But I know someone who does coin collecting as well, and I could ask and let you know at a later time. They might know. Okay.
That would be fine. Yep. Thank you so much.
Yep. I'll check on that and let you know, okay?
All right.
Thanks for calling. Take care. Bye-bye. And thank you for the contribution. We are talking about flexible estate planning. And, you know, when we talk about the assets, that's just one asset that Carolyn had mentioned that people may forget about. You forget about a bowling ball bag full of coins, and it could have some value, and what that might mean to, you know, someone if you're not going to use those coins for anything else, if you're not the collector, maybe it could provide some value to you to, you know, live your life or do whatever, rather than someone thinking it's just an old bag of junk and tossing it. So it's one of those assets. Did you think of everything? So we were talking about doing that inventory of the bank accounts, brokerage accounts, retirement accounts. And then I said some of those benefits that you may not technically be aware of, like pensions, group life insurance. I think people forget about those, that is an asset, and it would matter who you've chosen as a beneficiary on those types of assets. Same thing with a health savings account. A health savings account can be passed on, so you might want to have a beneficiary on that. And the individual account, perhaps, if you're married and you have everything else joint, and then you forget that you have this, you know, individual brokerage account where the stock awards have been going. Don't forget about that. Savings bonds. You might have savings bonds that you had when you were a kid before you got married, and you never cashed them in. Maybe they've matured. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they're in your name. And now if you pass away, who are they going to? The reason we want to know about all the assets, we want to know how they're titled, because we want to assess or figure out how are these assets going to pass when you no longer need them. Are they going to pass by asset titling? Were they owned jointly, which is a fairly simple way to pass assets if it's joint with rights of survivorship. Gets a little, you know, if it's joint tenants in common, which Pete and I talked about last week, joint tenants in common is a very different kind of ownership than joint with rights of survivorship or joint between spouses if it's by the entireties. So you really want to understand the asset titling. Savings bonds can have a beneficiary designation on them. Typically, it says POD and it's stamped right on the bonds, but they may not be. Or that person that they might be POD or joint with might have been mom or dad who've been gone for 30 years and you forgot about these savings bonds. So do that inventory of the assets, the value of the assets, and how they are titled. Folks, we are at our second break. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also contribute to our membership drive at that same number or on the WDIY app or WDIY.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Did you know your phone is a radio? You can tune in to WDIY anywhere on the go with WDIY's phone app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store, and your phone will become your trusted radio. The easy-to-use app lets you listen to WDIY on your phone live and access your favorite music shows on demand. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to Many Choices, Real Voices.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're going to give you guys a couple minutes to call in at 610-758-8810 to make your pledge to add to your membership or to just make an extra gift at 610-758-8810 or on the WDIY app or by going online at WDIY.org while I introduce Seamus McGrogan.
Thank you so much, Lori. And we are in the midst of our fall membership drive. We've already heard from our first Your Financial Choices donor this Wednesday evening. And we're looking for three more people to keep us on track this program. So if you haven't had a chance to give and you're a regular listener to Your Financial Choices, now is a great time to contribute. You're going to be not only supporting the programming on WDIY, but you're also going to help plant trees in the Lehigh Valley. This fall membership drive, we are partnering with Tree Pennsylvania, a nonprofit organization to plant native bare roots trees in Meadow Park in the borough of Coopersburg. That park is currently undergoing a revitalization, and we are so happy to be able to put these large trees in there that are going to help the park and benefit the residents in that area for generations to come. So your contributions will help with the transportation, planting, and future care of these trees, while Tree Pennsylvania takes care of the purchasing cost. So take advantage of this. This is only happening right now during the fall membership drive. And if you contribute at least $120 or more for the year, you're going to be able to put your name or a loved one's name on a memorial sign at the installation this November. So take advantage of that and support Lori's great program. Support the trees going into your community by making a membership gift today to WDIY's Fall Membership Drive. 610-758-8810 is the number to make a donation, or WDIY.org on the web, or donate button on the WDIY app.
Thank you very much, Seamus. And I hope you have an update for us at the halfway point.
That would be great.
7 minutes, yeah. All right? Thank you. So listeners, we are talking about flexible estate planning. We've talked about the assets and finding those and digging in and making sure you understand what they are and where they are and how they are titled. The asset titling is very important. Let me just mention the ones we forget about. The real estate, a lot of times people forget real estate's part of your estate. Cars and jewelry, art and collectibles. And typically, if you are someone who has valuables like jewelry, musical instruments, art in your home, you do want to make sure that you have proper insurance coverage for those. And quite often when someone passes away, when the executor or the representative is trying to what we call marshal the assets, that is one way they can find out if there were things of value, perhaps, by looking at an insurance policy to see if there were riders for those valuables. And if they're missing, that could be a flag. So you also want to make sure you update your your documents or your insurance policies or your will if you have already given them away. And when we talk about estate planning, remember I said it could be during your lifetime as well. If there are pieces of jewelry or special artwork or something like that that you really love and you want it to go to that special person, is there anything that's keeping you from doing that now? You know, if it's jewelry that you're not wearing or artwork that you have tucked away somewhere, you could do it now. If you have valuables that need that one might not be able to tell were valuable, like Carolyn's coins or when we see collectibles like baseball cards, you need to make sure that your representative knows that you have those types of things and that they may be of value so that they don't get thrown away. But where are they? And include that in your estate planning. And again, part of the flexibility might be maybe getting rid of these things during your lifetime. My mother had a very special necklace she wore all the time when I grew up. In fact, it was completely worn out because she used to, you know, kind of play with it when she was wearing it. And I said, "Mom, when you don't need that anymore, may I have it?" Because it really, you know, represents her to me. And one day she gave it to me and said, "Lori Ann, you just take it now because that way I know you have it." And it's wonderful and I have it. I don't wear it, but I have it. And it'll be a reminder. And she's still here, so that's good. Let's take an inventory of those liabilities as well. Mortgage. You might think that, you know, you could be married and you own a home jointly. But did you look at your mortgage? Your mortgage might not be joint either. And that could have some estate planning or estate implications too. So make sure you understand if you have debt as a couple, how is that debt titled as well? Is it joint debt? Do you have a joint mortgage, joint car payments, joint credit cards? What is it? All credit or all debt is not created equal. You might have student loans. Well, there are special programs. If there's certain student loans that you might have upon your passing, they may be forgiven. So you really have to do an inventory, not of just your assets, but of your liabilities. And that's part of the estate planning. That's part of the flexible estate planning, because your professionals, your attorney needs to know that to see, you know, what does the estate or the beneficiaries have to plan for as far as like inheritance tax and what kind of distribution. You might have an estate worth, you know, you think $1 million. They got this nice, big, gorgeous house and they have this and that. And then you find out they have a huge mortgage and they have student loans and there may not be that many assets left. So you've been worrying about how you're going to pass out these assets and you might not even have a very big estate. On the other side, you might have a very big estate and the flexible estate planning is going to say, hey, do we have to worry about inheritance tax? Do we have to worry about estate tax? And, you know, the attorneys can help you navigate that. So understand your assets, dig into, you know, all the crevices, find out what they are, put them on your little inventory list for people who like Excel. It's so easy to do. And then how are they titled? Are they joint? Are they joint with rights of survivorship? Be careful of this. I mean, I don't take anything for granted. Don't assume if you have something joint that it's joint, you know, with a spouse, that it's joint with rights of survivorship or by the entireties. Make sure you understand what is the joint titling. As Pete and I talked about last week, many years ago, the federal estate tax exemption was very low. And there wasn't, if one spouse died, you just kind of lost your exemption unless you had this special language for, they called it residuary marital trust kind of language. And so you had to have the special language in your documents to take advantage of using the deceased spouse's exemption. And that has changed in recent years. We now have something portability. You can take the deceased spouse's exemption as your own if you file a federal estate tax return to say, I want it. I want to port that exemption to my own. And you can do that. But if you haven't reviewed your planning in, you know, 20 years, then from 20 years ago, your attorney might have said, hey, let's equalize the estates. Let's equalize the estates and put some assets in both names. Or split this joint account tenants in common to kind of take advantage of those old rules. So don't take it for granted. Make sure you understand, you know, how the assets are titled, even if they're joint. Don't make assumptions about it. And as I said, if one spouse is running around opening up CDs at all the different banks, you're not there, then it could be individual names. And now you've just caused your surviving spouse a huge hassle in having to probate for assets that, you know, all intents and purposes should have been joint. So make sure you understand if you have any individual accounts, and could you either make them joint or put a beneficiary designation on them to that surviving spouse in particular. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about beneficiary designations and a little bit more about charitable giving and that type of thing. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We're happy to take questions. We can talk live on air. If you're not comfortable talking live, give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. You can also make contributions to WDIY through that number, 610-758-8810, or online at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And welcome back, listeners, my sophisticated listeners of Your Financial Choices. We welcome you to support the program, support WDIY, support all these wonderful volunteers we have here and this tireless staff who works all the time by making a contribution and supporting us through WDIY.org or WDIY app or by calling 610-758-8810. We're going to give you a couple minutes to do that while Seamus McGrogan introduces himself and other ways that the station benefits.
Thank you so much, Lori. I'm the membership and development director here at WDIY. You know, we have a very small staff here, and we have James Ziprot, our news and public affairs director, on the board over there updating you on the weather. And you have myself here. So you have almost half of the WDIY staff in the studio right now. There's only five of us. Most of the people you hear on the air are volunteers, including Lori. And we have over 90 on-air volunteers. It is truly a community effort to bring you this programming, whether it's financial knowledge, whether it's the NPR news that we help facilitate coming to you, whether it's music programming or public affairs discussions. We bring you this programming because of member support. So if you value the programming, you tune in frequently, now is the time to make a membership donation during our fall membership drive. We already heard from one person, and we're looking for three more by the end of the program to stay on track. We have passed the two-thirds point towards our goal, and we are looking towards the end of the drive. So we want to make sure we're hitting these targets. And if you've been putting it off, well, now is the time. 610-758-8810 for that donation, or ask a question for Lori. You can also give online at WDIY.org or hit the donate button on the WDIY app. And Lori, your financial-minded listeners will know that employee matching is a great way to make your donation go further. So if you have an employer who matches donations to nonprofit organizations, you can take your receipt that you get from WDIY to your employer and they will match that donation. And that'll go to WDIY and you can stretch your gift to WDIY even further.
Yes, you can contribute, your employer can contribute, and we get trees planted.
Yes, it's a win-win-win-win. Too many wins. I'll just keep saying win. But the point is, if you contribute to us, we will very much appreciate it and give you a thank you during that next break. Again, the number for questions or to make a donation is 610-758-8810. We're giving online at WDIY.org or hitting the donate button on the WDIY app.
Thank you so much, Seamus. And we have a caller. James? Hello, this is Lori. Is this Alan?
Yes, it is, Lori.
Hi, Alan. How can I help you?
Well, I have a quandary.
Okay.
I'm an old man, and I have a pension waiting for me, and I need to do the required minimum distribution this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hesitant. I want to hold on to it as much as I could because it's earning me about, well, over $300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
If I start taking money out, then, of course, that's going to earn less. But I got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
My deal is that they tell me I need to withhold approximately $3,500 this year.
Mm.
Or if I don't, they're just going to, by next April, send me $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether I should do something before the end of the year. I think if they do this automatically, then I'm going to need to withhold another amount in 25. So that's going to be double tax. I don't know.
Mm. So, Alan, this is what I understand is you called it a pension, but it could be a 401k. Do you have a 401k?
No, this is a what's it called? A federal
thrift savings plan. Okay, so when you say it's earning something, it's invested and it's making money for you, but you haven't needed any of that money so far, is what I'm understanding, because it sounds like you haven't had to take anything out yet, and you haven't, which tells me that if you haven't needed the money, even when you take out the required minimum distribution net of tax, if you have that money and you don't need it, you still could invest that net amount. So it's not like you're going to be totally losing out on returns. So that's the first thing I would just kind of point out, that yes, you love that you're earning something. It's tax deferred as long as it's in the, you know, retirement account. And when you take it out, it won't be tax deferred anymore. You'd have it like in an individual account, but you still could invest it and make money on it, perhaps. Okay, so that's the first thing. So the second thing is, if you have the required minimum distribution this year, it means you're 73, and so you must have had someone who did like a plan for like a tax projection for you, and they said, hey, if you take this distribution, you're going to owe $3,500 of taxes, and they're suggesting that you take the withholding out of the IRA. I like that strategy, by the way, because for clients who don't really need the money, what I like to look at the end of the year is to see, where are we with tax projections? Do we owe or do we not owe? And the IRS is a pay-as-you-go system. You have to pay as you go. We have to pay our tax during the year, either through withholdings or through estimated tax payments. Well, guess what? Right. Withholdings are considered paid throughout the year, no matter when you do it. So if you do your required minimum distribution in December, you could tell them to withhold whatever the taxes are due for 2024, withhold those taxes from your required minimum distributions, and just do it like later in the year. You could do it in the first week of December or something like that. You have your taxes covered, but you were able to let the money stay invested all year long. And then you the net out and invest the net somewhere else.
Yeah, I didn't see that option. I haven't looked at this too often, but I didn't see that option where I could request them to withhold taxes, but it's a good idea.
Oh, absolutely. You could. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have clients I do 100% withholdings on their required minimum distribution.
Yeah. Okay.
I cover all their taxes sometimes with it. So, it depends on your circumstances and situation, but I like using the withholdings from the IRA and doing it at the end of the year, because then I have an idea of where the taxes are due, how much are due, and then I can adjust it. So some clients I might do 100%, some I might do 90, some 20, some none. It all depends on the circumstances. But if you have a tax preparer who can tell you, you know, what to project for the taxes due, you could withhold it from the IRA and get that done this year. And then you can do the same thing next December in 2025 and December 26 and December 27.
Right. And I do a little work now. I am a retired teacher, so I do a little work, but that's not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. My son suggested that since I have to take some of this money, that I put it into some kind of high-yield account.
Well, you know, if you put it in a high yield account, just keep in mind that those high yield rates aren't going to last forever. And it's also ordinary income, just like your IRA distribution is ordinary income. Whereas investments in equities or stock is you might be able to get some tax favored treatment on qualified dividends or long term capital gains. Lower tax rates on capital gain distributions is a better tax rate than interest income.
Well, as you said, I'll be 73 this year, so I don't know how long term I have. Hopefully, long term, but
yeah.
And I saw your topic this week was estate planning or whatever, but essentially this money is going to be my son. I'm not going to need it before.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, if you don't need money, just, you know, just a couple other little things. And sorry, I love jumping into details. But, you know, when you don't need the money, if you really don't think you'll need the money, and I can only give you general education here. I can't give you specific advice. But things to think about are, if you don't need the money and you could gift during your lifetime, you can gift to anyone with no consequence, no reporting, up to $18,000 a year. So let's pretend your net, you know, distribution from this RMD is, let's say, I'm just going to pretend, don't tell me the numbers. Let's pretend it's $10,000 and you want your son to have everything anyway. You don't need the money. Maybe your son could do a Roth IRA. Well, a Roth IRA, if he's under 50, he could do, I think it's like $7,000 for 2024. You could always say, hey, son, I'm happy to gift you some of this money and I want to see you fund a Roth IRA. And guess what? Roth IRAs are income tax. They grow income tax free. So you want to get a little, you know, I like to not just the planning for the client, but the planning for the family. So there could be other opportunities there for you. The other thing is, Alan, and you don't have to tell me this either, but if you're charitably inclined at all, philanthropic, if you're giving money to the church out of your checkbook, or you're giving money to your alma mater out of your checkbook, or you're giving money to your favorite animal organization out of your checkbook, you can do it out of your IRA and you don't have to pay taxes on it. It's called a qualified charitable distribution. So that's another...
Money to WDIY. How about that?
Well, you can do it to WDIY, but you have to do it direct from the IRA. You'd have to say to the custodian, write the check to this charitable organization. They will deliver the check to you, and then you can mail it into your favorite charity. And if WDIY is one of them, you can just mail it to WDIY. But the check has to be made payable from the IRA or the thrift savings. I don't know if you can do it from a thrift savings account. You could do it from an IRA. We cannot do it from a 401k. And I imagine you might not be able to do it from a thrift savings plan. But if you ever roll it over to an IRA, you could do a charitable distribution, qualified charitable distribution out of an IRA. Okay.
Beyond the tax situation, I see what you're saying there. When I get this money, your first suggestion, I don't have any other IRAs or anything. Should I put that maybe in a high yield account? Or?
Well, I just mentioned that could be subject to ordinary income tax rates. It's up to you. If you need the cash, you certainly could do that. It's just more ordinary income. And I like people to have some exposure to lower tax rates through capital gains and or qualified dividends. But I can't give specific advice. That's particular to your situation. So just explore your options. But I appreciate you calling in. And this has been a fun dialogue.
Yeah, well, Laurie, it's always good getting information from you. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good evening. I love that. That's fun for me. I like those kinds of questions. And you can see the evolution of planning. You know, planning can go like a spider web. It can go in so many different directions. And, you know, sometimes you might have 10 options that are good and you just have to pick one. So you can't be overwhelmed by the planning options. But, you know, kind of having a general understanding of your options, just like we talk about flexible estate planning, it's about understanding what your options are and also, you know, hopefully getting help with answering the questions that you don't know to ask, because sometimes you don't realize, you know, the implications. And I like people to be in front of their decisions. So back to talking about the flexible estate planning, understanding your asset titling, what the assets are. Number one, what are the assets? Number two, what are the liabilities? Number three, how are the assets titled? Who are the beneficiaries on the assets? Do you even have beneficiaries on the assets? If you don't have beneficiaries on retirement accounts, it could explode on those poor beneficiaries, meaning the IRS, if they can't identify an individual beneficiary on a retirement account, they're going to say the estate is the beneficiary and it could have a 5-year payout, and that could accelerate the taxation on the IRAs. So you really, really need to dig in Don't make assumptions. Do not make assumptions. Find out who the beneficiaries are, primary beneficiaries, contingent beneficiaries, meaning if something happens to you and something happens to the primary beneficiary, which can happen, especially when we have spouses, who's the next one in line? You want to name those contingent beneficiaries. That also gives you flexibility in post-mortem planning. After you're gone, it gives your beneficiaries some flexibility. I've had clients where, you know, one of their kids is named a beneficiary and the kid is loaded, totally rich, doesn't want any of the money, please take me off, and they don't take them off. Well, there is a strategy called a disclaimer that that well-to-do child may say, I don't want it. Well, then who is it going to? They don't get to decide. You decide by naming your contingent beneficiary or per stirpes designation, which I can talk about when we come back from this break. If you have questions, phone number 610-758-8810. You can also make a donation. If you're a regular listener and you appreciate the program, we appreciate your support. And we know we have your support when we see those phone calls, when we see those donations, and that is through WDIY.org or WDIY app or by calling 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning public affairs programs weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, politics, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. Public Affairs on 88.1 FM, streaming at WDIY.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And just a note, last week's show was Flexible Estate Planning with attorney Pete Iorio. Tonight, we were just kind of following up on you know, how do you implement that? And that includes charitable giving as well. And speaking of charitable giving, we have Seamus McGrongan in the studio.
Hey, happy to stop in one last time tonight during Your Financial Choices. We are looking for those final three donations, either calls or web donations, to keep us on track for this program. So we've already heard from one person. We'd love to stay on track because we are approaching the end of the fall membership drive. We've passed the two-thirds mark towards our goal, so we are looking towards the end right now. And the way that we get there as fast as possible while making sure these programs are funded is we meet these goals program by program, day by day. And that's where you come in. We do this one donation at a time, and every contribution helps. It'll keep your favorite programs on the air, like Your Financial Choices. And this show truly is unique. And we say this every membership drive, but it remains true. You look at other public radio stations across the country, other NPR stations, there isn't a show that provides really in-depth, knowledgeable financial advice, live, local, in the community, with calls coming in. This isn't a common thing. You know, Lori is doing something truly unique here, providing this service, and we're so happy she's here. So this is something that we really think is worthy of your support out there. And if you agree, now is the time to make a membership donation. 610-758-8810 or WDIY.org or hit the WDIY apps donate button.
Thank you so much, Seamus, and thank you, listeners. We welcome, I think it's probably Alan again. Alan, this is Lori. Are you back?
Yes.
Same Alan or different Alan? Different Alan.
This is a different Alan.
Okay, hi. How can I help you?
Little different situation.
Okay.
I'm still working. I'm 59 years old, and okay. I do have a 401k at work.
Mm-hmm.
I put distributions in. It's the Roth IRA and also a regular IRA.
Okay.
The right thing to be doing, or should I just be putting it in one and not both?
So, Alan, when you say you're putting it into the Roth and to the IRA, do you mean within your 401k, you're putting it into the pre-tax portion, which is the regular 401k, and then the after-tax portion, which is what we call the designated Roth? Or do you actually have individual IRA and individual Roth outside of work?
No, it's with work.
With work, so. Okay. So there's pre-tax, which is the regular 401k, the traditional stuff we've been used to, and you don't pay taxes on that income today. It's deferred. And then the Roth, you're paying income tax on that today, but then it's growing income tax-free. So you're doing a little bit of both. It could be a good strategy. It all depends, Alan. So you want to look at your tax situation. So sometimes, and don't tell me any numbers, but sometimes what we're looking at is tax rates. So the concept is we like when people put money into the Roth through work or even individually. If you're in a low tax bracket today and you think you'll be in a higher tax bracket tomorrow. Now, having said that, even if you're in a 22% tax bracket today, that is probably still going to be a lower tax bracket than you might be in the future. But you're 59, so you're getting closer to retirement, maybe 5 or 6 years. It kind of depends on where your retirement income is going to be in those retirement years. So I would almost say if you think you're not going to have a pension, maybe your, you know, 401k is at such a level, you don't have to take required minimum distributions until you're probably 75, and those assets could grow. You might have a lot of years where you're in like a zero tax bracket. But if today you're in a 22% bracket, then to me, the pre-tax looks a little bit more attractive. If you okay. still have extra money, so you want to get in enough to get your match for sure. If you still have extra money after putting money into your 401k at work, you may be able to set up an individual Roth outside of work. And why I like that, you can't put as much in to that.
Okay.
But what I like about that is you may have your hands tied on getting money out of your 401k as long as you're working. Sometimes the rules of the 401k will say you can take it out when you retire. And if you don't right. retire until 65, you might not be able to get it for 6 years. But if you have extra money and you're within the income limits to fund a Roth separately, so for example, if you're married filing joint, your income could be like $218,000. If you're single, it's like $138,000. You could fund a Roth, an individual Roth. And the nice thing about the individual Roth is you can always take out your original contribution whenever you need it. So let's pretend you put you could put in like $8,000, let's say, for 2024. And let's say you do that in 2025 and now it's $16,000. Well, in 2026, oops, I have a car repair I have to do and I can't get money out of my 401k, but I have $16,000 sitting in my Roth. I could always take out part of that $16,000. Without any tax because you didn't pay tax. You know, you didn't take a tax deduction for it, but you can get right. to it. Whereas the 401k money, you might not be able to get to. So I would look at your tax situation and try to see if, you know, if it makes sense what I said about, am I going to be in a lower tax bracket in the future? Because if I'm in a higher tax bracket today, then I might want the tax deferral,
right.
but do enough to make sure you're getting the match. But if you even have extra money, think about an individual Roth, and then you can kind of manage that. But, you know, keep in mind, Roths grow income tax-free, so I really like to see them grow. I really like when I see someone take a Roth and put it in cash, it's like, what's the point? You know, the idea of the Roth is to get tax-free growth, but you have to do it within your risk tolerance and things like that.
Yeah, and I never even thought about the individual Roth. Mm-hmm. I always thought that, you know, with work, I'm putting the maximum amount in,
mm-hmm.
so I didn't even realize that I could get an individual Roth and put more money into that.
Yeah, as long as your income's within those limits. And you can still max your 401k at work, either pre-tax or Roth, and still do the individual Roth if you're within the income limits. Some people think if you do it at work, you can't do it individually, but it all depends on your income, which I mentioned if you're under it, and don't tell me what it is, but if you're under it, you could still do it. Yep.
Okay, so, great. And you think it's a good idea to put the maximum in with the work 401k?
If you've, again, I can't give specific advice because it's an education show, but if you've got the means and you don't need the money, I always make sure you have an emergency reserve first. You know, make sure you have an emergency reserve, put in high yield savings account somewhere so that you have something. But Okay. I mean, the more you save, the earlier you can retire. So
right, yeah, absolutely. That's I hit 55, and I started thinking of this stuff, and I'm trying to be intentional about it because 10 years goes by pretty quick.
It does.
You know, I'd like to retire.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah, but you've been very helpful, and I appreciate it. And you have a good evening.
Thank you so much, Alan. You too. Thank you for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I do love these calls. You guys, listeners, just so you know, I love calls. I love questions. When you call in with a question, think about how many other listeners get helped by that as well. I know I have to be careful because it is an educational show. I can't give specific advice, but if it stokes the fire to engage in your own financial planning, I get excited about that. I love when people are empowered. I think education is empowering. So we are talking about flexible estate planning. We've talked about making sure you do an inventory of your assets, your liabilities, the titling, the beneficiaries, primary beneficiaries, contingent beneficiaries. We also like to talk about the flexibility in who are you passing the assets to? I mentioned charitable giving, and we kind of hit on this last year or last week as well. Just be careful about, to me, if you are someone who is philanthropic and into charitable giving, if you're over 70 and a half, you can do it through IRAs. It's called qualified charitable distribution. You save income tax on that. And you can also name a charity as a beneficiary of a retirement account. And I like that because those assets go to that charity, that nonprofit 501c3, income tax free. Whereas if I say cash to my charity, IRA to my kid, I just gave a tax-free cash gift to my charity and I gave a taxable account to my kid. I like to switch that around. Let's give the cash to the kid and give the IRA or part of the IRA a segregated account to the charity. And you can be really flexible in that planning as well. You can either carve off a percent or carve off an account and name the charity as well. I had one case where I had someone once say to me, they had a big federal estate tax issue, lucky them, big federal estate tax issue. And they said, well, they really weren't into estate planning because they said, if I end up having an estate tax, we'll just give it all to charity. I said, well, who's going to give it to charity? Because your estate documents don't have any, it doesn't have any of it going to charity. So it's not going to get to charity. It just doesn't happen. Your executors can't decide that. Your executors can't now make it charity unless you have put something in your documents to provide that flexibility. And you could use contingent beneficiaries. So I said one thing you could do if you wanted is you could name your kid's primary beneficiary in the charity contingent. And then if the kids know you're in a federal estate tax issue, they could always disclaim it and then it could go to the charity. It gets a little complicated. I don't know if that's the best workaround. So, you really want to make sure you understand your intent as well when we talk about flexible estate planning, and that happens during your life as well. And that could include making sure that you have proper powers of attorney and work with an attorney who understands what that means and all those powers that can be given in that power of attorney and how much flexibility you want to give that agent. So, for example, you might say, I want my power of attorney to be able to do anything while I'm alive, change beneficiaries, make gifts, do whatever. Or you say, no way, I don't want that power of attorney to have the ability to change beneficiaries. I don't want that power of attorney to be able to do gifts. You can be as flexible or inflexible as that in your documents. And that is a discussion to have with the attorney. But it really is a discussion after you kind of get your arms around all the assets that you have and how they're titled and who's going to do it and who's that person you're going to pick. And maybe you don't trust anyone. And then we're going to have to talk about a corporate fiduciary. So you really want to make sure that you've planned all that. And think about this as estate planning isn't just about when you're gone and you don't need the assets anymore. Estate planning is making sure that you have the assets you need while you're alive and that they get to the places you really intend them to go. So I hope this was helpful. I loved the calls tonight. Thank you so much. I love the listeners. The most sophisticated listeners around are the listeners of WDIY. I thank the support to your financial choices. There's still a minute you can call in to make a contribution, an extra contribution. Join us as members if you haven't already at 610-758-8810 or online at WDIY.org or on the WDIY app. Next week, I'm going to have Age Matters in Your Financial Planning, just as Alan from Bethlehem called and said, you know, he started thinking about this stuff. And so I'm going to talk about ages and why ages are very important in financial planning. So Age Matters in Your Financial Planning. I want to thank Cindy and Bob for being here. Thank you, Seamus, for all your hard work. Thank you, James. Thank you, listeners. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.